Welcome to the Christian Wealth Podcast, where people come to learn what the Bible says about money, wealth, and business. Be inspired by some of the greatest Christian thinkers and commentators from around the planet. Enjoy this episode with your host, Alex Cook.
96.3, it is Mental Health Week this week, and we're chatting with Alex Cook from Wealth with Purpose this morning. A very good morning to you, Alex.
Morning, guys. Great to be with you.
Good morning.
Now, Alex, we're starting a new series this week called Getting Started with Money. And our first question this morning is, where do we start?
Yeah, well, look, I thought the a really useful place to start would be around this idea of setting goals. Mm. Now, it's not meant to be, you know, like the kind of motivational speaker. They get you all kind of fired up and excited, and then you forget about them a week later. It's more about just being really practical with your money and having a clear direction as to where you want to go. And so Jesus himself basically said, this is in Luke 14, he goes, suppose one of you wants to build a tower, won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? Mm. So in other words, Jesus is sort of encouraging us to be thoughtful and plan ahead, to actually think through what it is we want to do. Mm. And there's a sort of a funny quote when it comes to money and goal setting, that is, if you aim for nothing, you'll definitely get there, right? Mm-hmm. And so to me, this first step in being financially healthy and getting started is setting a couple of goals. And really, this is about being intentional, because if as Christians we believe that our money is in fact God's, and therefore we want to be good stewards with what he's given us, yeah, surely by default, therefore, we want to be very intentional with what we're doing with the money that he's given us. Yeah. But the other thing is, the goal setting does is it gives us direction. Mm. You know, it gives you a sense of, this is where I'm going, I know where I've got to be, and now I can then put in place things to actually get where I want to go. So ultimately, it increases your probability of what I would call financial success. In other words, actually achieving the things that you set out to do. So it's a really important thing I think we should be doing.
Should we keep check on our goals, as in, okay, we've set a goal, do we just set sail on that, or are there areas that we need to keep a check on as we keep going towards that goal?
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic question. And my typical take on it is you set the goals, then you set in motion the strategy to achieve it. So let's say the goal is, I want to pay off my mortgage within 10 years. And so I know that's my goal. And I know how much I need to contribute towards that goal. So say I want to make extra monthly repayments against my home loan of an extra $200 a month above and beyond what I'm meant to give or meant to put into the loan. That is the practical application of that goal. And the next step is, which comes back to your question, is, well, how do I monitor it and so forth? And so I would say that every 6 months, you want to check that, am I on track with this particular goal? Is my loan now starting to come down because of what I'm trying to do here? Of course, you can apply that to other things, you know, whether it's saving for a house deposit or any of those sorts of things. But yeah, you do need to monitor it. And I would say, as a general rule, every 3 to 6 months, depending on what the goal is.
We're talking with Alex Cook from Wealth with Purpose. We're starting a new series today looking at getting started with money. Coming up next, we're going to take a look at what sort of goals we should be setting. You're with Jay and Sam on Breakfast here at 96.3. 96.3's Mental Health Week. It's Jay and Sam for Breakfast on this Tuesday morning.
And we're talking with Alex Cook from Wealth with Purpose about goal setting this week. And Alex, what are the sort of goals that we should be setting for ourselves?
Yeah, look, there's a couple of what I'd call common themes, if you like. Possibly the most common one in Australia is around debt repayment. You know, most of us have a mortgage at some stage in our life and we want to pay it off as quick as we can. Particularly, you know, your home loans often, you know, 25, 30 years, that's a very long time. And I obviously try and encourage people to pay it off even sooner if they can, just because the interest itself is on a home loan is so huge. So have a very clear goal as to when you want to pay your debt off by. And have that intentionality to pay it off ideally sooner rather than later. So that way you can then work towards other goals, particularly, say, retirement. So retirement's obviously a second one, and that's a really important one, because possibly the greatest fear that I see when people come into my office is the fear that they won't have enough money in retirement. That's probably one of the most common ones. So having a very clear sense of how much do I need in retirement? So where am I going to go? How much capital do I need? Mm. That's what I call your target capital. And then the second thing that relates directly to it is how much income do I need in retirement? And that actually helps you to work out how much capital you need. So they're the two big retirement ones that you want to establish. Then there may be savings goals. So people have savings for different things. Maybe I want to save for a car. Maybe I want to save for a holiday. Maybe I want to save for my first home. So they're very common savings goals that people might have. One that's often overlooked is estate planning. And that estate planning is this idea of who's going to get my money when I pass away. Mm. And I always like to frame it in a Christian aspect, and that is, you know, who's going to get God's money when I pass away? Because really we're just stewarding his money. So what are your goals there? Are you going to leave it to just your kids, or are you going to leave it to your church and other things that you feel passionate about?
How important is a will?
Well, it's extremely important simply because you'd be amazed how much conflict occurs if there's a will not in place. In Australia, roughly 40% of people die intestate, that is, they die without a will. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that means it's determined, therefore, by a statutory formula in state legislation, and the government, therefore, decides who you get your money. So I would have thought, from a Christian perspective, we want to say, well, who is going to receive God's money that he's given to me to look after? Mm-hmm. And therefore, having a will in place would be your final act of stewardship. So I think it's a very, very important document. Mm-hmm. But also, it does go a long way to helping reduce family conflict. And I would go one step further to say that you should actually have the discussions with your family so that they know what is going to happen when you pass. So that way, these things are out in the open and everyone knows what's going to happen, rather than getting a shock on... when they get the will, because you would be staggered by how much conflict occurs. Mm-hmm. You have families that never talk to each other again, all over money. Mm. It's very sad, some of the things we see. Yeah, so it's a very important goal to have in place. Who are you going to leave, you know, God's money to?
Yeah, we had that issue when my mum passed, and she didn't want to leave anything for my third brother. So we thought, this is going to come around and bite us in the bum a couple of years' time. So we just decided to go thirds with what mum left. My third brother sort of cut her out of his life many years ago, and they hadn't spoken for years. Mm. And so she said, no, he's not in the will. So to save the old knock on the door a couple of years down the track, where's my money, where's my money? We thought, no, we'll just go thirds.
Always conflict around money.
Wise. You're very wise, Jay, because one of the things that we see is where parents do try and leave their children out of the will for whatever reason, and inevitably it leads to being contested in court. Mm-hmm. So what you did avoided a lot of heartache.
That's it.
Often a lot of people don't realise the ramification of cutting people out. It actually causes immense emotional pain. Mm. Putting aside just the financial stuff, it actually causes serious other pain as well.
We're talking with Alex Cook from Wealth with Purpose this morning, the new series, Getting Started with Money. We'll continue next with the question, how do we set goals? The all-important question. That's coming up next. It's Jay and Sam for breakfast on 96.3. 96.3, it's Jay and Sam for breakfast on your Tuesday morning. It is Mental Health Week. We're talking with Alex Cook from Wealth with Purpose this morning, and we're taking a look at getting started with money when it comes to goal setting. And our last question this morning, Alex, is how do we set goals?
Yeah, look, there's a fabulous acronym that many business people would be familiar with, and they're called SMART goals. Mm-hmm. And SMART goals, what it means is, if you think about each of those different letters, SMART is specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. Mm. So our goals must sort of fit, if you like, that criteria and be built out that way. So if I was to give you an example, and probably a common one, you know, let's say I want to pay off my mortgage of $200,000 in 10 years' time. So it's specific, you know, it's my mortgage, mm-hmm. it's measurable. I want to, you know, rather than... So coming back to the specific for a sec, it's specific in the sense I've said I want to pay off my mortgage as opposed to just paying off my debts. Mm-hmm. It's measurable, as in I've set an amount of $200,000 I want to pay off. Achievable, that's a bit more subjective because that's based on my income and obviously my ability to save and make the extra repayments.
Yeah.
It's relevant because I want to be time bound and I want to be set free from the shackles of debt, so to speak. And it's time bound in the sense that I want to do it within, you know, a particular time frame, in this case, say 10 years. So it meets that criteria of being a SMART goal. And of course, you could apply that to other areas, whether it's retirement. You know, I want to save for a particular sum of money to give me an income from the age of, say, 67, which could be in, you know, 10 or 20 years' time from today. Mm-hmm. So very, very clear goals. And the reason why they need to be clear is just that way you put in place specific actions or measures or strategies, if you like, to ensure that we get to them. Possibly the biggest mistake I see here is that people may have a goal like paying off their debt or saving for a home and things like that, but they don't put in the time-bound feature. And if you leave time out of it, then what tends to happen is it becomes a nice-to-have rather than a must-have, and it removes any urgency. By having a time to it, you then have to say, right, how much do I need to save towards that particular goal if I'm going to get there by that particular date? So time bound is the one that's often neglected, but possibly the most important one, because that means you're far more likely to achieve the goal because you're going to put in place measures to get there by that time frame.
Yeah, you've got a target. Instead, exactly. You can just, otherwise you could just think, oh, I just won't put that in this week because you haven't got the target to get to. Mm. So you think, I'll just spend that extra $50, it doesn't matter, you know, it'll just take me a bit longer. But if you do, you mightn't have reached a goal that you've set for 2 years.
Exactly right.
Good words of advice. Once again, Alex Cook from Wealth with Purpose.